Hey everyone, welcome to Superwomen. Today's guest is Kelly Mi Lee. She is a Chinese-American serial entrepreneur, film producer, and investor. She is notably known as the executive producer and star of Bling Empire on Netflix and executive producer of Cypher, an FBI decoding series with Sonar Entertainment. The list goes on. I got hooked on Bling Empire months ago, and I was so excited when you reached out. So welcome to the podcast, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me, Rebecca. I'm really excited to be here.
Let's start with your early days. What drew you to the film and media industry? Was it something you always knew you wanted to participate in?
It wasn't something that I grew up wanting to do. I think for me is that being an entrepreneur at an early age, I've always kind of hustled my way up. And when I moved to Los Angeles, I think naturally you got very, you know, integrated into the industry. And the more I started learning about media and film and television, the more hooked I was, because there's such an amazing way to tell stories and share stories that people don't normally know about. So I slowly got hooked into it, and I have so much passion for the industry.
So one thing that I'm sure you get asked a lot on Bling Empire, it's very much downplayed that you're an executive producer. I mean, I wouldn't have even known unless, you know, you read the credits, which I don't know how many people watch. And it sort of is, at least how I viewed it, is like painted you as this, oh, this just happened. But clearly you've worked your ass off to get to where you've gotten to. So I'm just curious about how you decided to shape your sort of role on Bling Empire, and how much of that is real, how much of that is like, okay, this is better for the story.
Mm-hmm. So I'm normally a scripted producer, and with script, there's just a middle, you know, beginning, middle, and end. Where unscripted, it's really depending on where the story takes you. You know, yes, I helped put together this project from the beginning. I actually spent about 5 years working on this project before it got greenlit for Netflix, but it really takes a huge army. When I partnered up with Jeff Jenkins, who executive produced, you know, with the Kardashian, Simple Life, Mariah Carey show, he really took it to another level. And during that time, I really wasn't planning to be on camera, because I've always been behind the camera and I'm actually more comfortable there. I'm actually really shy. But, you know, because these are all my group of friends and friends I have relationship with for many years, Jeff and the other producers at Netflix, like, it doesn't make sense if you're off camera. So then I decided to be on camera. But when I went on camera, I pretty much stepped back from all the creative role with Bling Empire, just because it wouldn't be fair for the other cast. So I actually didn't see the cut at all in editing. The first time I saw the shows exactly when everybody, the whole world saw it, it was a little challenging in the beginning, because as a producer, you kind of tend to have a control over your project. So it was a very personal challenge for me to let go of control and be completely vulnerable. And I learned a lot from this process.
How did you release control? Because I feel like as someone who probably has more innate knowledge of what's going on and what storylines might resonate, how did you let that go? Because I feel like that would be really hard.
You know, this project to me was very personal, just because, you know, this is one of the first all Asian cast show for unscripted. And we have such a low representation. And for us, you know, because I fought so hard for 5 years to get this show made, it's very personal for me. And I know that we have one shot, and to show, you know, Hollywood and the day is still a business. We want to show them that, hey, we can still make money and we can still be successful, even if it's an all Asian cast show. So for me, it's bigger than myself. And, you know, and I think, again, I'm really grateful for this challenge, because overcoming this challenge by fully immerse myself in experience, but also stay true to who I am, was such a big reward, because I learned so much about myself that I didn't even know before. And if you asked me this 5 years ago, I'm like, there's no way I could have done this. So I'm just really happy.
Tell me what you learned. Like, what were some of the things that surprised you?
I think the biggest thing that kind of came out of season one for me was my mental health journey. Mental health is not something that we talk about in the Asian community. We tend not to speak up about, you know, our problems. We call it, quote unquote, you're hiding your, you know, you hide your dirty laundries. And I've never learned that. I never learned therapy was okay to go to. So, you know, my first therapy session was the one that everybody saw, you know, on Bling Empire. But you know, that kind of really kickstarted my own personal health journey, you know, for mental health. And ever since then, after the show, you know, wrapped, I really spent more time learning about it, reading books, and then going to more therapy sessions, and then also connecting with groups online and looking at, even watching YouTube, listening to podcasts. I just realized there's so much knowledge out there, and I really started taking more time getting to know myself and doing more self-care and setting boundaries. It's all tools I've never learned. And it's just funny because I'm in my 30s now and I'm just learning this stuff that people might have learned in other cultures at a way younger age.
You know, I was just about to say before learning it at a younger age, that I think you learn it with age. Mm. You know, I feel like that journey for me probably started in your 30s, but I think it comes with a certain level of maturity. Like, I don't know that, I don't know. That's just an interesting thing that it might be that, like, I think Gen Z does mm-hmm. a good job of doing it now. But yeah. prior to that, like I'm in my 40s, but like, I don't think that word existed or was allowed to be spoken of either.
Wow.
Yeah. So let's talk about this personal journey for you. You know, I know that the lack of representation in Hollywood and in a lot of places, especially for Asians or Asian Americans, has been far below what should be. Mm-hmm. So on this pitch, as you were telling people, you know, it took you 5 years. What did you have to go through to get past a lot of that racial bias and inability for people to see that this was actually something that people wanted?
I think with a lot of time with different buyers, you know, a lot of them, they're kind of still worried about their jobs in a sense. They don't want to take a chance because it's never been done before. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's why, you know, I mean, it really kind of kickstarted. I really have to thank the movie Crazy Rich Asians because how well the movie did. And because of that, obviously Netflix with the global market gave mm-hmm. us a chance. I think it's also, you know, it's one project, one successful project hopefully can lead to another one. So Crazy Rich Asian paved the way for us, and hopefully Bling Empire will pave the way for other all Asian cast shows.
Yeah. So did you, when people said no, did they give you that as the reason, or were there just dumb excuses that you knew it was the reason, but they couldn't say it? Like, I feel like I equate it to, you know, a woman being pregnant in a pitch meeting with a VC, and then they're like, but you're having a baby. How are you going to run a business?
Yeah, it's kind of like they're like, we're interested. We'll get back to you. This sounds good, but you know, da da da. It was never a firm no. Crazy Rich Asian came out and how amazing it did, how successful it did, you know, my phone at the time afterwards was ringing off the hooks because all these executives, producers that I pitched a project to before was calling me back, you know. Which was really great. At the time, Jeff Jenkins just left his company. He was with the company called Beeman Murray's to start his own. So the timing was so perfect. And obviously, I think he's one of the best at what he does in this industry. So it just really, I think just timing and everything just lined up.
Yeah, I think it's incredible. I think, you know, the book came out, then the movie, and then you guys came out. And I feel like it's this new groundswell of people realizing how much incredible talent exists out there if you actually just take a risk.
Yeah.
I'm so curious, what kept you going? You know, 5 years is quite a long time. I feel like most people expect success in 3 months.
Yeah.
What were some of the ways you kept your North Star?
You know, I think if you're passionate about something and you really believe in the project, you just have to keep fighting for it, especially, you know, in the entertainment industry. Some movies take, you know, 10 years to get made. One of the scripts I have, I mean, it took like 5 years just to write the script, but I think, like, you know, good stories never die. And I think that good projects will just never die. Just have to keep fighting for it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now that you have this visibility, not only do you have the visibility from being in the show, but then now obviously producers, executive producers, networks know of you and your talents. How do you now separate what people think of as your public persona with your actual producer, you know, the work you want to continue to do outside of Bling Empire?
Yeah, it kind of does. I think, you know, in a way, I don't think we can only be one version of ourselves. I think we can be multi-version of ourselves. And, you know, I could be, you know, quote unquote, a reality talent as well as a serious entrepreneur and a serious producer. I think nowadays you don't really need to just pick one lane. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think now you can kind of have different versions of yourself. Just like, you know, yourself, you're amazing designer, you're a supporter for women empowerment, you have this podcast, you're a mom, you know, you're a role model. So I think there's different titles nowadays that doesn't need to be quote unquote, we don't need to be just in one lane.
No, that part I get. That part I fully agree with. I guess what I'm trying to get at is you have what people perceive to you as someone on a show and the drama right. that ensues and
right.
the personal part of that is very much out there.
Right.
And then second to that, you're producing and have a production company and mm-hmm. trying to get other projects. So how do you sort of approach that when people are like taking a meeting with you and they're like, oh, I just saw what happened with you and your boyfriend. You know what I mean? Like, how have you approached that as a really powerful entrepreneur and having all of your public and personal life be so out there?
I think you can't really focus on that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think, you know, with my professional, I know I'm at the value that I can add for the project. So, you know, if I walk in a room and they're thinking about all the personal drama, I'm, you know, within 5-10 minutes, I'm able to show them that I still can add a lot of values and I'm the right person to produce this project. Because I think it's a little bit different, right? And, you know, I'm grateful that I was able to show my personal side just because the amount of support and amount of almost a little community that kind of came together, that people were able to share the same similar story as me. And they hopefully mm-hmm. with 2 and 3 coming out, they can find more power in it because it's how I work through it, right? And then I think also the perception of that you have to be quote unquote perfect, or that if your career is together, your personal life has to be together. Something like that, I think is, you know, that's old school, where nowadays I think our imperfection and our journey, our story is what people can really connect with.
I love that. I totally agree. I just, I'm always curious when there's parts of people's lives that they never anticipate showing or having be edited for TV, you know? And so I was just curious what's your approach to that.
And I think one of the thing also for me was almost a little bit of relief, if that makes sense, where, you know, back when we're filming Bling Empire, my work was doing really well. My life was really together from the outside. But, you know, but my foundation, which is my home life, was just such a mess, you know, and then my mental health was a mess. And, you know, but the outside looking in, my life was so well together. And I felt relieved almost to be able to put that out there. And like, it's kind of like, okay, this is the thing I've been trying to hide. It's finally out there. And then the amount of people that reached out is like, oh my God, I was going through the same thing, or I am going through the same thing. How are you getting through this? It felt almost empowered. I felt empowered.
I love that. And what do you tell people when they're reaching out? Like, what do you say that you've gleaned from this?
You know, for me at that time, I'm very honest. I'm like, hey, I'm still a work in progress, but I'm getting stronger and stronger every day. And a lot of time we'll share books that I read that I feel useful, as well as, you know, podcasts and YouTube. There's a lot of knowledge out there for mental health. And I think if you seek it, it's out there.
What do you do to detach? Where do you go for inspiration to relax? What sort of fuels you?
I love being in nature. Also, in the morning, I tend to not turn my phone on for the first hour I wake up, and then the hour before bedtime, to really kind of disconnect. And just being with self and being with, you know, being with me. A lot of time I feel like with our society, because, and also work, and I'm, you know, family, you're getting dragged left and right. So many distractions, and you didn't really get time spent with yourself to check in with yourself. And it's funny because I always say that, as a, you know, I lived with myself for 30 plus years, and I just realized I really don't even know myself. So now that I make sure that I have the time for myself to turn off from all electronics, going on walks and being in nature, meditate, all that stuff is so great.
That's so good. My husband just told me I needed to disconnect from social media. And I think knowing that you can do it for an hour before bed every night, I should probably get on that train. It's when I read all the news and my husband's like, why do you go to bed after reading all this bad news?
So yeah, I can't watch news right before bed.
I know. It contributes to my nightmares. So what's next for you? What projects are you excited about? What are you working on?
Right now, you know, we just shot 16 episodes actually. So it's going to roll out for Bling Empire. And as far as the producing side goes, I shot a little, feature during COVID. So that one we're in the finishing stage for editing. And then, also another documentary that's on 70s rock and roll music. That's about to finish as well. I think for me, like right now is that the biggest thing is time. So for the future, I just really want to pick projects that I'm really passionate about, projects that I love true stories, just because I think there's so many amazing stories out there that nobody knows about, story that's inspiring and that's empowering. And just, you know, we don't need to quote unquote make up. These are real stories. So I'm going to keep focusing on that. And then also just keeping the best version of myself, continue therapy, and then one of the big things that I'm trying to work on is maintaining a work-life balance, that it's okay to say no, and it's okay to have these boundaries. Okay, after on Sundays, I don't work, or after 8 p.m., I don't work, setting these boundaries for myself.
So tell me some of the boundaries, because I'm sure it'll help trigger other women to begin thinking about this.
Yeah, I used to work, you know, entrepreneur in your 20s, you know, I used to work 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'm never off my phone. I'm connected all the time. I will answer emails. If you email me at 3 a.m., I'll probably answer it. But now, you know, I realize how important it is to have a balance, and, you know, and it's not good for my mental health. So nowadays on Sundays, I don't work. And everybody kind of knows that. If they can still message me, email me, you know, on Sundays if they want, but I don't respond till Monday. And then around, you know, 7 p.m., I just shut off when it works. I actually got two phones now. So I have one work phone, one personal phone. So my personal phone, you know, if my mom wants to reach me and all that stuff, my work phone, at a certain hour, I just turn off. And then my personal phone, literally, there's no social media. There's no apps on it, pretty much. Just literally text message and phone call, and you can call. So I think setting these boundaries and setting time for your family is so important. You know, because end of the day, I think family is the most important thing. And it doesn't matter how much, it's great to be successful, but it doesn't matter how much you have, you know, the materialistic things, you can't really take that with you. So what really matters is, you know, having great relationships with your family, kids, and close friends. So yeah, those are my little, I guess, my boundaries of just know when to turn off.
Yeah, for sure. With Bling Empire and the success of it, I'm curious if you've seen more understanding and tolerance. I know there has been so much anti-Asian American hatred and violence in the last couple of years. Have you seen things improve or just more opportunities for people?
I actually haven't seen it improve. You know, I think last year, mass media has reported a lot, you know, more, but nowadays it kind of slowed down, even though the crime rate hasn't really stopped. So, you know, and I still, only the news outlet that's more Asian focused has been reporting them, but it's literally still going on every single day. And it's very, very unfortunate. And the problem obviously is that, a lot of them, I think the crime rate is just that there's no consequences. There's still, you know, I think there's still a lot of things that needs to be changed, and a lot of awareness people need to have, because majority, you know, lots, I posted something, you know, in my social media, you know, about some Asian hate crimes. And majority of people, they do care. It's just that they never even heard about it because they're not aware of it. So, you know, it's still something, you know, Asian Americans, we still have to fight for every day. And it's very unfortunate, you know, with my, especially with like my mom, my grandma, they live in Chicago, and Chicago Chinatown actually is doing really, really bad right now. I get really worried when they go outside. And when they go to something as grocery store, going to the bank, the everyday activities, I get worried because you just never know what happens. And I'm just hoping that this year can make a change, and hopefully that more and more people become aware of these issues and be able to speak out and be able to do something about it.
Are there organizations you think people should know about in order to learn more or volunteer or donate?
I helped kickstart this organization's initiative called the organization called Hate is a Virus. And we had a community action fund that I helped kickstart. And, you know, so Hate is a Virus is a great one. Stop AAPI, you know, so there's more and more organizations popping up. And, you know, I think it's not something we can change, you know, tomorrow, next week, next year. But I know that if we just take little steps here and there, because at the end of the day, it's not even about, you know, like different, any races, just hate crime period for all races. This is not what we're about, right? Human is a race. At the end of the day, we're all human. We should all look at this, you know, we should all fight these things together.
100%. I mean, I think that obviously you saw an incredible movement around Black Lives Matter. And then even as a Jewish person, right, the hate crimes, the violence for Jewish people, and anti-Semitism is at an all-time high. And with what you have experienced and obviously the AAPI community, it's almost like we all need to band together and have our own, have a little bit more awareness. Because I feel like sometimes you're right, the media stops talking about it and people think it goes away. So not to move aside from that serious and important of a topic, but I do like to ask all my guests, you know, something we'd be surprised to know about you, a habit, a quirk, something maybe the show got wrong that you want to correct that people would be surprised about.
Okay, let's see. I'm actually pretty shy, and I'm an introvert. I'd rather be home in my pajamas than be all glammed out outside at events and parties. So I will pick being home in pajamas any day. So I guess that's
how did
be a little
you
bit
get
surprising.
Used to the camera. If you're shy, like how did you settle with that?
You just get used to it, and you just realize, you know, just pretend they're not even there. And also, our crew is so amazing. Honestly, like, you know, after the camera stopped rolling, I'm just joking around with the crew, and, you know, so they make things very comfortable. But I think from the people's perception of Bling Empire and also all the events, also the glam, you know, those are fun. But for me, I'd rather stay home in my pajamas.
How do you deal with the drama? Like, I see the dynamics that go on between you guys. And I just, I'm like, wow, this is like a cat fight 24/7. I could never mentally exist in that type of environment. So how do you deal with it?
The funny thing with me is that, you know, if you know, season one, also season two and three, if you kind of look at it, I tend to really stay out of the dramas just because in real life, I am this way. Like, you know, like if obviously I'm there for my friends, if they need help, they need support, but I tend not to get too into the drama, especially like, you know, the ones I think is very silly. Just because I'm like, hey, I'm too busy with my work. I'm too busy with other things right now, you know, to get too involved. But it is draining, you know, but end of the day, I think like, and these dramas are not like, they're real. They're real dramas. If you put, you know, you put a group of people together like all the time, they're dramas that's going to happen because different personalities. So for me personally, I tend to stay out of it. And I've been doing a pretty good job, but let's see how future goes.
Well, I give you props because I would just crawl away and say, you win, I lose. So give you props for that. And then my last question for you is, do you have any good advice that you've either learned yourself and would like to pass on, or someone gave to you that you feel like have been helpful in shaping your success?
I think, you know, one of the big thing for me is that walk in a room like you belong there and have confidence in yourself. I think a lot of time as women, you or women entrepreneurs, sometimes when you go into a meeting or a situation, people have a preconceived notion about who you are because you're a woman, right? But just don't let other people's judgment or, you know, their vision of you or their thoughts of you become your reality, because at the end of the day, you should know your own self-worth and know what you bring to the table.
I love that. Where can people follow you, find out about the projects you're up to? Obviously, we know we can watch you on Bling Empire.
I think Instagram is probably the easiest thing. I still don't get TikTok. I don't get any other stuff yet. So it's just at Kelly Mealy at Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you. And I can't wait to see season 2 and 3.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. It's been so fun.
I just wanted to thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I also want to ask you to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a pain in the butt, but it actually helps with search and algorithms. So if you love this podcast, it is an easy way to get it more visible and out there. I also want you to follow me on Instagram at Rebecca Minkoff, at RM Superwomen, and be sure to check out my book, Fearless, The New Rules for Unlocking Creativity, Courage, and Success. Thank you again, and you will hear from me next week.